You're listening to the Roadiezine Podcast, Episode 6, South by Southwest Special Edition. Hey guys, this is Mike Rohde, and I am doing something a little different this time. I've got my good friend Michael Ashby on the line, and he and I had spoke after I returned from South by Southwest, and before I went as well, and talked about the conference itself. And one of the things he kept asking me was, well, Mike, what is different about South by Southwest? And why should I consider it? Because Mike and I have both been to Palm Source conferences, multiple, and we both know what that experience is like. And he was curious, I think, to find out what the difference was between a Palm Source conference and South by Southwest. And other questions. So what we've done is I've got Michael Ashby here with me, and I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to have Michael be the interviewer, and he's going to interview me as the person who just came back from South by Southwest to answer his questions. So, Michael Ashby?
Hey, Mike. Mike and Mike, we're each Mike and we're each on the same podcast, so that'll get a little confusing.
Yeah.
To say the least. But thanks for letting me do this. I've been enjoying your podcast since they started and subscribed to them in iTunes, and it was kind of fun to experience the conference with you. And like you said, I just had a lot of questions, and we thought, well, hey, you know, let's record it. And This will be kind of weird interviewing you on your very own podcast.
Well, before I get started, I should introduce Michael. Michael Ashby is a good friend of mine. I've known him for, how long has it been? It's been over 5 years now, more like 7 years, right?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Something like that, 2001? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, 7 years. Wow, that's crazy. And Michael is a Palm fanatic. He's an IT guy. But he's also a web developer, and he's done. Maybe I should just let you describe it. But basically, Mike and I have worked together on projects. We were involved in the Palm community together for many years, and know each other really well, and sync really well. So, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do now, so we have an idea where you're coming from, your perspective.
Oh, sure. Longtime Palm fanatic, like you said, that's how we met, and I have run various Palm OS user groups since 99, and just recently wrapped up the Nashville Palm Users Group, which is where I live, and we had run for 8 years and just called it quits last October.
Wow.
But that was kind of my passion there for a while, and it still is in terms of mobile technology and whatnot, although I've moved to the iPhone. Mm-hmm. But as far as web and all the rest of stuff, like you said, we've worked together on many projects. I run a small consulting firm called Coherent Methods, which just started this year, sort of a merging of two solopreneurs. There you go. And we banded together to put together this new company called Coherent Methods, which is mostly web development and software development, which kind of plays into how you and I continue to work together on projects and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been involved with web development since probably 99, 98, and seen it come around, and there's been a lot of changes. And South by Southwest, of course, is this huge epicenter of activity that everybody seems to want to attend, and it's kind of the must-see, you know, conference that's there. And it's kind of weird because, you know, I've been to a lot of conferences, going all the way back to CES, COMDEX, and COMDEX was one of my first big conferences that I went to in computers. And, you know, over the years through Palm Source, where you and I attended together and stuff like that, there's sort of a paradigm, at least in my head, of what a conference is, which is, you know, a ton of stuff that you can't see everything.
Yep.
If it has products to show you, then it's just, you know, walking. If it's more educational, then it's just session after session after session. But South by Southwest seems kind of different. And so with that, if you don't mind, I figure we could just kind of launch right into some of the questions there. What was it that triggered you to want to go to South by Southwest other than name recognition? And the reason I ask is I noticed that over the last year or so you've been attending quite a few, I don't know if you call them unconferences, things like Barcamp and Seed and some of these others where they weren't quite as traditional.
Yes.
With your traditional conference. And is that what prompted you to say, okay, I'm now going to take this to the next level to South by Southwest? What kind of prompted all that?
I think there were a variety of touch points for me. For the last 2 or 3 years, I've heard podcasts that came out of South by Southwest. Bruce Sterling has had panels at South by Southwest for several years, and every year they've been great. I don't think he spoke this year. I don't even think he was there this year, but I could be wrong. There were so many people there, it's hard to know. So I have been listening to podcasts, and the last couple of years they've been really excellent. And just listening to the podcasts, I've learned all kinds of things. Like, for instance, last year was Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week, which in a lot of ways rocked my world in the way I think about things. I don't subscribe completely to his methods, and he even admits that he's kind of an extreme case, an edge case. But I think a lot of the concepts that he challenged people with were really good to think through. And so hearing all these podcasts got me excited. I'm a podcast junkie. I listen to podcasts all the time when I drive, when I shovel the walk, when I'm walking down the street. Whenever I have a chance to have downtime, I love to listen to podcasts of all kinds. And so having that was sort of a touch point number one. And then, like you said, I've been going to more conferences, and I lean toward the more unusual ones, probably because of the business that I'm in. I'm more in the web development. So, for instance, Seed Conference was a 37 Signals, Kudal Partners, and Segura Design. Those three guys got together and put on a little bit different conference where they talk about the way they do their business and work as a way to share what they've learned. So that was a little bit unusual because it was three companies in a one-day conference. And then obviously bar camps, not only have I attended, but I've been involved in pulling those off, helping with T-shirts and registering people and all kinds of stuff through the local Milwaukee tech group that we have here, Web 414. So that's been an involvement. In the last couple of years, I've made an effort. I've talked with Matt, the guy I work for, Matt Henderson at Macaloo Media, and we both felt like it was a real good opportunity to do a couple things, give back to the community by attending, and then, you know, as you've seen, I've done sketch notes and accounts and things that I can share with other people, but also, you know, an opportunity to network. I mean, to get to meet some of the people that are in the community, and, you know, hopefully eventually that would lead to projects. Although that's not the primary reason to go. It was more to just be seen and to see people and get to know them and have this network built up so when the time comes and they need work or I need work or I need help, that I've got some people to go to and I'm known. So those are a couple of the different reasons that I've made a decision to go.
Okay. Well, and that makes sense. I mean, obviously that's probably the number one reason to go to a conference is to learn something, and then right on its heels is to be able to network. And obviously you've had good success with that. I think you're sketch notes from Seed got picked up and were making their way around the web through Kudal and some of the other guys.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it definitely paid off. And so South by Southwest was just a natural progression of that.
I would say it was a little more of an investment because, you know, Seed was in Chicago, so it was a train ride and cost to get in.
Right.
So that was pretty reasonable, and it was one day, so there's no hotels involved. But
sure.
You know, South by Southwest is 4 days. You got 4 nights of hotel. You got a flight down there, and you've got entrance, and then food and stuff. So I mean, it was definitely a step forward for Macaloo to send me down there. And I part of me had felt this obligation to like make it worthwhile.
Sure.
I
guess the thing that kind of, I don't know, light bulb that goes off in my head is that I haven't attended a conference in a long time, mostly because it's been work, 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 and you mm-hmm. think, oh, I just don't have time for that. And then the few times I've scheduled something where it's a local Microsoft thing or, you know, someone's going to show me something, mm-hmm. I end up having to reschedule or cancel altogether because, you know, something comes up. But obviously, once you kind of step your foot in that water, it's easy to just kind of keep taking steps and reaching deeper and deeper water, which makes a lot more sense now to me because, you know, for me to just jump into South by Southwest would just be, you know, diving off into the deep end when I'm not even sure I can swim, you know?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've, you know, attended a conference with the idea of, okay, what am I supposed to get out of it? But, and I guess that's a key point though, is that you have to have goals of what it is you're going after, of the purpose of going and not just, you know, being a drone kind of hanging on the side of the wall thinking, wow, I really didn't get anything out of this. And especially getting the investment that you've got there. Because it is 4 days. Now, for those who may not know everything there is about South by Southwest, because I get kind of confused. Mm-hmm. There's music, there's movies, there's web. Is all this happening at the same time? Are they different weeks? How does all that work?
They are different weeks, although there is a tendency for overlap.
Okay.
So for instance, I don't know which is the largest. I think film may be the largest, and then music, and then interactive in that order. I don't know about attendance numbers. I think what I heard was the interactive was somewhere around 7,500 people there this year,
Wow.
and the music and the film are significantly more. From what I understand, was the film is the first week, and then interactive is sort of sandwiched in the middle,
Okay.
and then the last week is music. So when we got there, if you get there a little early, like a day early, you see all these film guys, and they tend to be like, 50-year-old guys wearing black and looking kind of crabby. I don't know. And then we came, and I think my observation was that the interactive crew was quite a diverse crowd. It was pretty diverse compared to the other crowds, although I didn't stay for music, and that might have been even more wild. We started seeing some crazy people coming in when we started leaving. So it's like you've got the film guys coming, and then you've got interactive coming, and then you've got the music coming. So that's sort of the flow of it.
And so interactive is targeted towards more web development, Flash,
yes,
CSS, that sort of thing. So if you're into web development, that's your week. But like you said, if you can bookend it with a little bit of film, if you've got inclinations that way, and then a little bit with the music, man, you could eat up, if you were into all these things, you could eat up 3 weeks of your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's the interesting thing, and I didn't pursue this, but there is film that's going on during the week of interactive. So I think it sort of tails off, and then there's activities at the beginning of interactive week. And from what I understood, because I asked sort of generally, if you say you're interested in film, you can pay to get into films. So you just pay an entrance fee just like you would go to any film. I don't know what it was, like $5 or something like that, whatever they decided it's worth. So if, there was two or three films that you really wanted to see that looked interesting, you could go to them. If you bought a pass, the pass for Interactive was like $400. I think the film was more, and the music may have been more too. But, if you're just going to go to a couple things, you could go to a couple films and just pay your way in. And the same thing for music. If you, like, for instance, REM was playing after he left. And so, if you're a big REM fan, you could just go down and catch the show, assuming you get in there.
Okay.
And so, there's opportunities to do this stuff without having to totally commit to the whole week or commit to the whole badge. Because that's how you get in and out of stuff, is you got a badge. And that's how, they've got volunteers to make sure you get a badge if you're going to go into panels and stuff, so you can't sneak in. So, it's kind of a weird feeling to realize you got this plastic badge around your neck that's worth $400, but, I guess how else would you do it? So,
well, yeah. Okay, so then depending on which week you're most interested in, you could have a badge for that week.
Yeah.
And I just happened to pull up their website, and then they have the platinum badge.
Yeah, that's, I think, everything.
Which is everything. But price-wise, if you're saying it's $400 for interactive,
mm-hmm.
If you did all three, that's actually not bad. They've got it at that same rate schedule for $950. So
yeah, so I think probably if you do all three, they probably give you a deal, I would suspect.
Yeah, because music alone is $600 if you do the whole thing.
Mm. See, and I think if I would do it, but probably the ideal way to do it is to figure out if there's some shows that you want to see, and then maybe do like the whole week instead of like. So you might come on, we got there on Friday morning. Instead of we left on Tuesday afternoon, you could stay till the end of the next week and make it a full week. That way you catch some film at the front end, and then you catch some music at the back end, and then you just come back, and it's only a week.
Right.
And if if it was only a couple of shows, it might be cheaper just to pay your way into the shows.
Oh, sure. But interactive is all about panels and roundtable type discussion. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, it's a mix. There were a mix of both panels, which would have maybe 4 to 6 people on a panel discussing something. And then there were several that were just individuals. And then there were a couple that were like duos. Like, for instance, one of the more popular ones that I liked the best was Jason Santamaria and uh-huh. Rob Weichert, I think his name is. They did a thing on Everyone's a Design Critic, and that was sort of like a duo. So, it varied. So it could be anywhere from a single person to a panel of 6, or I don't know how big the panels got.
Was this something that you had like a track that you could say, okay, I'm into content, so I want the content track, or was it a little bit looser than that?
It was a bit looser. There wasn't really a track, and one of the frustrating things in some ways was there could be really great things all going on in the same hour, so like 10 o'clock, there could be 3 things that you wanted to do. And obviously, you can only do one of those things because you can only be in one place at one time. So that was one of the complaints I heard was, oh, it was really great, but there were like two other things that I wanted to do in this hour and I couldn't do them. Now, they podcast everything so you can hear them later. But the other complaint was is people would say, well, yeah, like at 10 o'clock there was like three great things and I could only see one. And then 11 o'clock it all stunk. You know, right. None of the things interested me. But, you know, it's kind of a wide, they're throwing a wide net. You know, you get all the way from design to back-end developers to social networking stuff, you know, people interested in social networking, and then even more general tech stuff. I think they had sessions like hardware hacking, and so it was quite a wide variety of panels. So, I mean, anything that you could be possibly interested in was pretty much covered there. So, but yeah, it was kind of unusual. It was loose in a lot of senses. In fact, I kind of cracked up because they had a keynote. They had several keynotes, but it's unlike other conferences like at Palm Source. When the keynote happened, like, say, Michael Mace, right? He did right. keynote. I mean, nothing else was going on. I mean, there was nothing else to do. Like, even all the people from the show, I think, even shut down their booths, right?
Right.
Because they wanted to hear Mace.
Right.
And everybody shut everything down, and his was the only deal going on. Well, it's not like that at South by Southwest. So, like, Zuckerberg, I think there were, like, three or four other panels going on at the same time that you could go to, which in some ways is good because obviously if you're not interested in seeing Zuckerberg, you can go do something else. You don't feel stuck.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, there might be something else that you want to see, and now it's stuck up against Zuckerberg and you want to see him too.
Right.
Well, now you got a dilemma. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that they'd even call it a keynote because my impression of a keynote was it was pretty exclusive. So I guess it's somewhat interpretation. So.
Well, and I get the feeling you've got this pass. So once you have a pass, you're kind of free to go wherever your interest happens to be.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you're into blogging and you want to go see Blogging for Dollars, Blogging is a Profession? ? By Ed Schull.
Yeah.
Great. And then if the next thing you want to go to is, you know, there was a thing I saw about mice that, you know, cutting edge, that the mouse is going away. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
so you can really kind of freeform it, which is kind of an interesting mashup, so to speak. It
yeah.
kind of reminds me of maybe not Barcamp per se, but some of the unconferences where there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on and just people talking.
Yeah.
And this seems to be kind of a trend. And I don't know if it's just the Twitter / dig type mentality that people have with technology now,
mm-hmm.
or people are just tired of the pontificating on high.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, I remember going to COMDEX and hearing Bill Gates give his keynote. You know, it was a big deal. It was a show. It was all
mm-hmm.
the rest. But, I mean, my takeaway from that, I mean, we're just now seeing some of the stuff that they were talking about 8, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, with this whole Microsoft Sync where they're talking about having, you know, your car be able to sync your data through
oh,
your
yeah.
phone and all this sort of stuff. This is stuff they talked about 8 years ago. Of course, this is kind of, you know, right when the internet was starting. Anyway, point is that, I don't know, when I think of a conference, I think of that information coming down from on high and having to pay top dollar to get some person I may not have even heard of tell me, you know, what I'm doing is wrong or how, you know, this is the way to do it or, you know, what have you. But it sounds like these were, I mean, key people. I mean, the folks that you listen to, that you were seeking out, are, you know, somewhat legendary in their field. I mean, they're almost
yeah.
celebrity. Did you feel you got your money's worth for the topics or sessions that you went to?
Oh, yeah. I think I felt like, you know, having access to these leaders in the web development field was pretty amazing. And, I mean, there were people even outside of that, like Guy Kawasaki I saw floating around. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Kathy Sierra was there. Scoble was there. Robert Scoble.
Yeah.
There were probably more people than I realized that were there, which was pretty interesting. So, I mean, like the heavy hitters in web development, which, you know, we were joking around that to us it's like, oh, you know, I can go meet Dan Cederholm from Simple Bits, and that's like really cool. You know, just to like my wife, she'd like say, Dan who? You know, it's like, so I mean, you know, not to knock Dan, I think he's awesome. But to some people outside of our industry, it's kind of like a tempest in a teapot. You know, it's like a celebrity in this tiny little niche that only, you know, 8,000 people or 10,000 people know who this guy is. But I think that's the way our society is heading toward, is this niche, almost a niche celebrity, where you become a celebrity in a niche, and that's, you know, if you can sustain that, you can have a pretty good life.
Well, I mean, this, it's so funny that you would mention that. You must listen to MacBreak and This Week in Tech, and so we must listen to the same podcast. Because, what's the artist's name? The guy who did Code Monkey.
Is that Jonathan Coulton?
Jonathan Coulton. He was recently interviewed on, I think it was MacBreak. And, you know, they were saying how he was, you know, truly a niche artist. Mm-hmm. And his point was, he says, well, I didn't seek to be a niche artist. It just, I'm an artist, and my stuff just happens to appeal to this certain niche. But if you think about it, I mean, that's kind of the way the whole world works. I mean, through your podcasting and feeds and all the rest of the stuff, you're really just filtering down what it is you're truly interested in or passionate about.
Right.
And everything is getting sort of niched in that capacity. And so, no, I totally agree. I mean, my wife says the same thing. We live in Nashville, otherwise known as Music City. And so she'll point something out of, oh, my God, you know, that was so-and-so that we just passed or was sitting next to us. And I'm like, who's that, you know? Because I don't know, you know. But for her, that person is a legend in their industry, that kind of thing. But
I would say, like, to the people that are in the web development field who might be listening to this, you know, when you – this is pretty much everybody you could think of that's got any importance in the field. Anybody that's making innovative steps forward, who's written books, who seems to be a leader in this field, is pretty much there. There were a couple of exceptions of people that either couldn't make it or decided not to go. But I mean, pretty much everybody that you could think of, and then a lot of people outside of that that were more generally tech people, like a Guy Kawasaki or Robert Scoble or something, those guys were there too. So I mean, it was like everybody you could think of who was important in your business orientation is at this thing, and you have an opportunity to walk up to any one of them, say hello, tell them, you know, thank you for doing X, or say, hi, my name's Mike and this is what I do, I appreciate what you do, or, you know, however that would go. And so, you know, to somebody that maybe is in another field that's listening to this, it's kind of like, just imagine in your field there have to be leaders in your field that are known for whatever. Like, my wife is in Alzheimer's care, and so there's all these physicians who do research. So it'd be like for her going to a conference where all those people were there, and she had the opportunity to go have a coffee and talk with any one of them and ask them all kinds of questions about what she's interested in. So that's kind of – that would be a way to describe what this is like.
And that's an interesting point. I mean, because what you're talking about is it's not so much the information, not so much the sessions and hearing somebody talk as much as it is being part of a scene. Which is funny, because if you're in country music or Christian or gospel, Nashville's a destination. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to come here. You have to work here. It's, you know, this is a scene. Same thing as, you know, if you're into musical theater, you got to go to Broadway, right?
Right.
So New
mm-hmm.
York is a scene. And for the web, I don't know that we have a scene. I mean, Silicon Valley is about the closest thing we've got, and that's sort of everything tech. It's not specific to, say, web development, because you've got stuff that's happening with 37 Signals that are in the Midwest, right?
Right, yep.
You know, and so you have all these little hotspots around, and be able to pull that all together is pretty interesting. And I think that there's a lot of value to being part of that scene. Mm-hmm. Beyond the ones and zeros, it's about the energy that you get from it, not to sound too new age, but I remember with Palm Source, I would tell people how it was such a great thing to do, even if you weren't a developer.
Mm-hmm.
And people would look at me like, are you crazy? Because it was like $1,000, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't an inexpensive thing, and somebody was paying my way. So, you know, it was easy for me to say, oh, you need to go. But if you wanted to be part of that scene, if you want to make those connections as an end user, between developers, between, you know, people within Palm, that was the place to be. Palm Source was it. And it sounds like, as far as web development goes, South by Southwest has kind of become it. That's the epicenter for what's happening. That's not an industry-led thing, right? It's not like, like, let's say, Macworld. Macworld is very much like Palm Source. It's all geared towards, you know, Mac development, that sort of thing. And I'm sure it's great. I hope to go. But it's that thing. This is much more broader into what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about Palm Source and Macworld. Both of those had some involvement of the company who pretty much dominated that market. So, for instance, Palm Source was run by Palm and Palm Source well before
Right.
they changed their name. So, I mean, you didn't have, Microsoft wasn't there with Windows Mobile. That was a pretty exclusive place. The same thing with Macworld. I mean, Apple has got some involvement. I don't think they have total control. I think it's run by a separate company that manages the thing. But, they have a pretty heavy presence. That's where they do their big announcements in January. And so, I mean, it's very focused and vertical, whereas South by Southwest is almost in a way self-selected. It's kind of like the people all decided, hey, let's go to this thing. Probably because the people that they brought in were talking about those topics. So it's not, I mean, there's not really, because web development is so spread out, there is no one company that dominates it. I mean,
Right,
even you could even say Google has got a strong presence, but they were just a show booth there. I mean, they had some people that talked. Apple had people that talked. Frog Design had people that talked. There were all kinds of different people that talked there, but there was no one dominant company that sort of ran the show in a sense.
Okay.
It was more South by Southwest, the organizers that ran the show. So in that sense, it was a little bit different than those, and maybe a little bit more like a Comdex, where it's one company that's bringing all these different interesting people in to have an event.
Right. Well, now, okay, so I know that there was another half to the show, because whenever I would hear somebody on a podcast talking about the show, it seemed to all be about the parties. So there's obviously a huge after party type thing going on after the tech stuff that happens during the day.
Yep.
Listening to some of your other podcasts, it didn't sound like that was as big of a deal for you and the crew that you were running with, but it was still fun to attend.
Yeah, we none of us are really party people. I mean, that's just not our thing. We did go to a couple parties. Like, for instance, Adobe had a party one night where they rented out a bar and they had free drinks and music, and I guess they gave away gifts. I don't know. We didn't get anything, but there were a couple of Adobe people, one Adobe guy that we knew there, and we wanted to go say hello, so we went in and said hello to him. But it was just, maybe for the younger crowd, maybe it's just an old fogey talk. And the people I were with are not that old either, but it was just, it's kind of loud, and it's there's a lot of, it's dark, and you meet people, but then it's like very difficult to talk with them because you can't hear them. I'm screaming at people, and it just seems crazy. And I could see where that could be attractive, where you're a single guy and you want to meet some girls. I mean, that I could see where that could be an attraction, and maybe that's what the party scene is for some of the younger developers, and then maybe the older guys that kind of want to relive their college days or something. But I much preferred going to a hotel lobby, which is what we ended up doing most of the nights. We'd get a crew of people, we'd go hang out in the hotel lobby and just talk to each other and show each other stuff we're working on, and hey, check this cool thing out, and we just hang out. Our friends were in a lobby that had a TGI Fridays, so they would order food and just sit in the lobby and hang out for a couple hours, and it was great. You could actually talk to people and hear them, and it was enjoyable to do that. So, I think, and then, there's parties too where it's, say like a company will sponsor a party, like Expression Engine, for instance, had a party that they had, and they had delicious food. I mean, it was really, really well done, catered food. And it wasn't too loud that you could talk to somebody and understand what they were saying. It wasn't, they have huge, loud music.
Right.
And another one was somebody sponsored Nuclear Tacos. I think that was Monday night. So you basically show your badge, you get a ticket, and you can get something to drink and all the nuclear tacos you care to eat. And that was a little bit quieter. I mean, they had music,
good?
But it was...
No. Sorry, I have to ask. Were they
The Nuclear Tacos, the real Nuclear Tacos, the 4 out of 5 star, was pretty much like eating Tabasco meat.
Okay.
I like Tabasco, but at some point it just reaches a level where it's just hot and there's no flavor, and that's pretty much what it was. Now, I actually had the veggie nuclear tacos, which were 2 out of 5, and those are pretty good. So I think it was just that level of heat.
Sure.
It's sort of that manly, I ate the taco. I wanted to see how hot it was, but I just ate one, and that was it. So.
Right.
So, I mean, those are the kind of events. It's a variety, and it depends, I think, a little bit on the company and sort of their philosophy about what a party is. I think the more, after being through all this, I think next year what I'm thinking of doing is connecting with people that I'm interested in meeting or know, and set up our own little parties, and go to a place in like a restaurant or a hotel lobby and just do our own thing, make our own parties.
Sure, and I heard that a lot of people are doing that. I think Scoble, for example, couldn't get into the Google party or got tired of waiting, and so he was able to quickly kick in and.
Some guy found an empty bar and he Twittered and said, "Hey, come on over here, the Alta Vista party." And so all the old timers that knew what Alta Vista was all went over there and. I think within an hour they had like 200 people there. And so, I mean, you
wow.
know, I don't know what that scene was like, if it was loud or not. I didn't go to that, but Twitter was really critical too for finding out where stuff was going on. So like if someone was at a lame party, that you just they check the Twitter feed and they're like, oh man, I'm at this party and it's really lame, you know, I'm getting out of here. And so you just don't bother going to that. Or
right.
That's where, you know, if you follow a fair amount of people who, if they were there, would say, hey, come to this party, this is really good, they got free food or whatever it was.
The thing I think that I find exciting is that, you know, this is so much of what we do now, whether it's a Macworld event or an Apple event or all the rest. I keep hearing people in the media say that they don't necessarily need to go to the event, that it's overcovered.
Yeah.
I hear that time and time again, that, hey, I'm just going to watch the live blogging that occurs. I don't actually have to fly out there and, you know, go through all the hullabaloo to actually be a witness to it.
Right.
And so much of that in conferences in general have kind of broken down because you can get all this stuff off the web through podcasts, video streaming, what have you. But it sounds like with South by Southwest that there's so much more there, that even though it was blogged and all the rest, it's definitely a place you want to be and a place you want to experience, because, like you said, you weren't there for the Zuckerberg interview, and it was pretty much a non-event as far as you were concerned, because
yeah.
there was all this other stuff going on. And yet that kind of dominated the media, and I, for one, didn't care so much about Zuckerberg or his interview or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a indication of a conference that is still valid, that you can't just get off the web, that, you know, the best place to experience it is there. That being said, is this something you think you're going to do again next year?
Oh yeah, we were already planning some of this stuff out. The four of us who were sort of the crew together.
And mention those four, because
yeah.
some of those names were new to me, and I only heard them in the podcast. But who was the people you were running around with?
Well, the people that I flew down there with most directly and who I had set it up with were Ash Dryden and David Overbeck. Those are both people involved in the Web 414 group, which is our local tech group focused on the web, the same kind of stuff. And they made the decision to go down because they thought it would be an interesting thing to check out. So us three, the three of us, decided we were going to go. Then it turned out that there was another guy that was going to go who was also from Milwaukee, who just recently joined Web 414. So he happened to be there too. And he was the guy I ended up doing the Geek Bowling and ended up on his team for that. So that was another guy that turned out to be going down there. And then there were two other people from a startup locally that ended up on the same plane as well. So we ended up having six people on the plane going down. And so, and then we met a guy, Ash and David and I met a guy in our hotel, which was sort of on the outskirts from, he's a Venezuelan guy living in Corozal, which is an island off Venezuela. And he was coming because he just wanted to get back into the scene. He was a designer and he felt disconnected, and we stumbled into him and ended up just, you know, making him part of our group. So we hung out pretty much the whole week for the most part. And, so it was pretty interesting to have that. It was nice to have a group of other people to go with. I don't know what it would have been like if I would have gone alone. I'm sure it would have been a different experience, but at least until you met some people that you could hang out with. So,
very cool.
So,
very cool. So it was a community experience all the way around. It wasn't just something that happened once you got there.
Yeah, and I think having those other people, they each had their own take. So, you know, if you had a feeling, you could kind of bounce it off them and see if it verified or not, or if, you know, you were just being hypersensitive, or if they thought something and they could ask you, and we could also share funny laughs and about goofy stuff, or we could go to lunch or dinner together and go to parties together. So you'd have like a little entourage. I think I talked to Jonathan Snook and by email afterwards, and he said, yeah, you were kind of cruising with that entourage. That was really cool. You know, I bet that was a lot of fun. And I was like, well, we should have probably had you come in our crew. So, and you know, one of the ideas that I have for next year, when we plan to go, is I noticed there were a lot of lonely people that were sort of floating around. Didn't seem like they had any groups. They didn't really know any. It didn't seem like they knew anybody. I don't know if they were first timers or not, but I sort of had this idea to maybe challenge veteran South by Southwest people to, if they see those lonely individuals, just to go up and say hi and meet some people that look lonely. Because I think knowing how great it was with a group made me realize how terrible it probably would have been if you were all alone and you didn't know anybody. And,
right.
you know, then on top of that, you're afraid to talk to someone and stuff. So that's one of the things I'm going to try and figure out how I can pursue next year, is maybe a way to challenge the veterans to meet people. And, you know, if they seem like they're cool, and they fit with you, then maybe just involve them in your group and take them along so that they can experience South by Southwest in a group setting. So,
right.
I don't know.
Well, and all the conferences I've gone to, unless I was, like, say, a Palm Source where I knew that there were going to be people there I was running into, I've always done it solo. And you're right, it sucks because, you know, there's only so much that you know, and other people have read other stuff or they see something else. So they go, oh, I'm going here because I think it's interesting. Oh, what's that? Tell me about that. You know, and definitely having a group dynamic, I think, could definitely make that a richer experience.
And, you know, if you're a person like a Scoble or somebody who's pretty well known, you know, when you show up, people kind of want to be with you. So you could, like, make an ad hoc, you know, entourage just by showing up because people know who you are and want to hang out with you. So, right. I mean, that, for those people, it's a lot easier. But if you're nobody, you know, how do you make friends? I mean, it's, and then on top of it, if you're a geek who happens to also be shy and not super outgoing, how do you get that started? You know, there's, so that's an interesting thought that's passed through my head as we experience the week. But yeah, we're definitely, at least I'm definitely planning to go back. And I think the other two friends, Ash and David, and I know Brian is planning to go back as well. So, and we'll improve our experience next year.
Cool. Well, I mean, do you feel like you missed out on anything? Is there anything that you felt you kind of missed the boat on that you plan on doing different next time?
Well, I think the only thing that I would say I missed was there are a bunch of people that I really hoped to meet, and I just didn't. And the more I talk to people, the more I find out that that's pretty normal South by Southwest, that there's just always going to be people that you are not able to meet. And so that's why there's next year. And, you know, the people that you meet next year that you didn't this year, you meet them. And then there's like five other people that you intended to meet that you don't.
Sure,
and, you know, it just keeps
sure.
you coming back because there's just so many people there. I mean, now, why on the last afternoon we were there, we had lunch with a South by Southwest veteran. He'd been there 5 or 6 or 7 years in a row. And he said the last couple of years it's grown exponentially. For a long time it was something like 2,000, 2,500 people. And then I think 2006, or was it 2007, it grew to 4,500 people.
Yeah.
And then this year it went to 75 or 8,000 people. So, I mean, it's exponentially growing. And a lot of the veterans are sort of complaining that it's almost too busy and too crazy. There's too many big lines, too many people. You know, every party that we saw had humongous lines. So unless you bolted from a session and got in the line at first, you just didn't get in.
Right.
You know, it didn't bug us because we really could care less about all of the parties. But,
sure.
You know, that's just an indication that it was kind of a big event.
Right.
So,
anything that you were surprised about? Any big thing that you kind of went, wow, I really didn't expect that?
Before I left, I was kind of a little bit overwhelmed. In the sense that I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I'd been to conferences before, and I've gone to conferences alone, like SEED. I went to alone. I made friends down there, so I'm a pretty outgoing guy. But I was a little bit overwhelmed, even going with friends, because we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we'd never been to one. We'd heard podcasts and maybe read some blog posts, but there was like no way to get a sense of what to expect. So I mean, it was a little bit scary going in because I don't know what to expect or where do we go or how do we start this thing and. That's where having that group really helped, and I think the thing that surprised me most was how valuable having a small group of people to experience it with was. Before we left, I thought it was nice that we were all going together, but I grew really close to those other people that I went down with, and I feel like our friendships got really a lot deeper. And to have that crew with, you know, I found out that I got along with them really well, and we enjoyed hanging out together. And so that was a great revelation. Was that, and also that once we got in there and registered, that it became a lot more fun. And we just once the initial shock wore off, we could kind of relax, and then it was cool. So I guess the surprise was that probably that my friends were. That I went with were a lot more important than I maybe had planned on them being before I left, and that was a good thing.
Very cool. Well, okay. Well, that's about all the questions I have, unless there's something you want to add. It sounds like it was a great experience. And I really, when you first told me you were doing a podcast, I was excited because I like the idea of podcasting,
mm-hmm.
but I thought, wow, you know, What are you going to talk about? And here it is. You know, we've talked for quite a bit on the wrap up. And I have to say, just again, I really enjoyed the podcast that you did and kind of being able to sort of experience what that's like with you. Because I don't think otherwise I would be interested in going next year. And I was talking with my business partner about that of, you
Yeah.
know, we need to put it in the budget for next year that we both can go because we each have different focuses. You know,
Sure.
him being more of a programmer and me being more of a UI front end, whatever. And being able to kind of go with you through the event and you know the stuff that you highlighted, like the geek bowling, which I thought was really great,
That, yep.
especially the fact that you made it a group podcast, really did a lot. So I appreciate you doing it, and I hope everybody else gets as much out of your podcast as I have, because I think it's really been interesting and it's been fun.
Well, good. I'm really hoping that all the stuff that I'm probably annoying people that are sick of hearing about South by Southwest will, go out on the record, and that next year when people are sort of on the fence about, well, what should I do this thing? That next year as I prepare, I'm going to prepare a post with the links to all the stuff I've talked about and sort of try to describe what it's like for them so they have a better idea and can make a better judgment whether it fits what they want to do or not. Because I think it was a really great, some people have asked, "Oh, how was your trip away?" And I just say, "Man, I'm energized. I'm really excited. I came back like excited to do work and to do stuff." And I think that's a testament to how, it worked for us. All three of us talked about being excited to do things. So I think so that was good. And then the sketch notes that I did, surprisingly took off. I mean, I sent them to a couple of the speakers and a few people I know, and next thing you know, it was spreading all over the web and retweeting on Twitter. And I've got like I think I on the last count, I think I had 24 sites that were linking to the images or posting them in their sites. So and I think Monday Moleskinery is going to feature it as well, so it may have some more life in it yet. So and hopefully
Well, I
the
have to say that has been really impressive because nobody else does that,
yeah.
and it's unique and they're fun because it gives you a different take on the conference than just you know some bulleted points or things of that nature. And you're an excellent note taker. I mean, you're the king of note taking. In every event that we've been together at, I'm like, let Mike take notes. Mike's great. Probably much to your chagrin, but.
That
But
was a
yeah,
lot of fun.
you've been picked up by overseas, The Guardian, I think, linked
Yeah.
to you. I saw that during Fireball, linked
Yep. Yep,
as
I
part of
sent a
his
note
Link
to him.
blog, which is incredible. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I knew I was going to do these, and I knew the seed ones were somewhat popular, but that's even maybe even a narrower niche because there's a lot of people that don't like 37 signals for whatever reason. So I mean, that's got a smaller footprint. But South by Southwest had such a broad variety of people. I was kind of curious to see, how would people react to it? Would they like them? How would it go? And it's been surprising even to me how people seem to appreciate them. So that's been a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. I was concerned that, I wouldn't be able to scale and pull off these notes for every session I was in, and I was able to, and it wasn't a problem for the ones that I wanted to do. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm glad I did that.
Well, it's definitely getting a lot of traction, so congratulations,
Thanks.
because you definitely deserve the attention that you're getting for them, because they are really good, so.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, Mike, for coming on and asking me some questions, and hopefully all 10 listeners have hung on all the way to the end and have got some good information out of this. And I just appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk with me.
Oh, my
So
pleasure. Thanks for having me.
you're welcome. And so this is Mike Rohde and Michael Ashby for the Rohde Design Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you on the next one.